There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
It is not very often that I say I am absolutely disgusted and disappointed in the city council of Mobile, Alabama as a whole.
Wait a second. We went from Councilman Richardson from years ago talking about the brave council, Councilman John Williams saying he's disgusted with the entire city council, or at least the behavior of the council as a whole. We'll talk about that with Councilman John Williams in the second half of this hour of Midday Mobile. Hey, it's Friday, y'all. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also would like to say a big thank you. I put the picture up of Patty from Allegri Market and Daphne. It just dropped off. Now, I have been in I somehow got roped into this discussion online. For my friend Katerina Lukatic at News 5 wrote me into this conversation about candy corn, because I'm one of the people that likes candy corn. And they needed somebody to gang up on, I guess, because it's like a big thing online now to hate on candy corn. I don't indulge in it very much, because that's the last thing 47-year-old Sean Sullivan needs. But do I love the candy? Yes. I love candy pumpkins, too. Wish I didn't, but I like both of them. And so I was in a defense of candy corn. Next thing I know, here comes Patty from Allegri Market with real fall Baldwin County corn that tastes like candy. So, hey, Katerina, that's my candy corn I'm having. I put a picture up of it, but they got fresh fall corn in at Allegri, and it is, during the bottom of the hour news, I go back and drop a ear in the microwave and have a little corn during the Midday Mobile show. All right, lots to do on today's show. I want to start off, though, with some stats out today. And this is the bigger story here is it's ATRIP 2 funding. Now, this is what we had talked about. Basically, okay, put it this way. This is gas tax money and its allocation for projects around the state of Alabama. And we talked about the move, I guess, a month or two back to remove Alabama State Senator Chris Elliott from that committee and replace him there. And then I see the numbers come out here for this ATRIP 2 funding. And there is one in Baldwin County in Fairhope, but where the money's going and how much, and are we being punished for this? Let's bring on Chris Elliott right now. Hey, man.
Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, thanks for being here. This comes out, let people understand. So this is money that's coming in through the gas tax, right?
That's correct. It's about $30 million this year that is a certain portion of the gas tax revenue that's coming in to be used on state roads or roads really that intersect with or adjacent to state roads.
Okay, so this money comes in, and then it's who decides who gets what? I mean, how many people get a say in this?
Well, the ATRIP committee itself, and you referenced that just a second ago, is the final decision maker on the distribution of this funding. And again, about $30 million statewide, the maximum award as determined by the procedures that I actually did get to vote on before the governor removed me from that committee, mm-hmm. was $2 million per project. So you saw about four projects or so that were in that $2 million range or just shy of that $2 million range. The rest of them were closer to $1 million apiece. So to be honest with you, while it's $30 million spread across 462 municipalities and 67 counties, it, as you can imagine, doesn't go very far.
Right, and it doesn't, but it, you know, when it comes to your town and it's your project, I mean, you're being all of us, that it can be a big deal. But do you think, looking at this, so I'm looking through here, a project, one Baldwin County project, two Mobile County projects, and a Washington County project. Now, they vary in price here. Do you see what I was worried about, that maybe there would be any kind of, are we getting less or more than you think we would have gotten if it wasn't for the discussion of the toll?
Well, no mistake about it. I think we got less than we would have otherwise gotten if I had been still on the committee. But I will say, and I will tell you, this is an example of good relationship building, I think, in Montgomery, and especially on the A-Trip committee itself. I had a number of those members reach out to me and say that they were working for Baldwin County, that they felt that what had happened to us and in my removal was not appropriate and not right and was meant to punish Baldwin County specifically, and so they spoke up and made sure that we at least got one project out of that. This is in the just under $800,000, which is significant, like you said, in a municipal budget. So I was proud of that. I was proud that we had at least built relationships with legislators, some of whom haven't always been that friendly to this area of the state, Sean, that stuck up for us and saw what the governor had done is wrong.
Wait, they thought this was such a wrongdoing that people from other parts of Alabama that often aren't aligned with us in anything down here in Southwest Alabama, they came to the aid of us way down here on the coast?
I think that's exactly what happened based on my phone calls with them, is that they were looking out for us, and I think that's good news. They value our relationships in the Senate. And tried to look out for us and make sure that we were able to get something, even though I wasn't physically in the room.
Okay, I mean, this is kind of an example of what my bigger question has been. Looking at this upcoming legislative session in Montgomery, here you have the governor with a broken relationship with members of her own party. I mean, we're talking about it right here, right? That people are having to step in for this, that there's these broken relationships. Even though that's the executive branch needs the legislative branch, and quite often the executive branch runs herd on the legislative branch.
That has been the case in the past. I do not know that has been the case in the recent past. Governor Bentley had a lot of difficulty with the legislature and getting along with the legislature. Governor Riley did a better job with it. Of course, Governor Wallace was an expert in it. But it will be curious to see how this governor fares in the next session. I know she's lost a couple of key members of her staff that dealt with the legislature. For instance, the Senate liaison has moved on to the university, or to Auburn, and is not there anymore. And there just have been some changes. So it'll be curious to see how this works and how this plays out in the next legislative session, and really what tone they decide to adopt.
Well, and I do wonder, and we can get into some of the things that may lead regular session or be in special session, but before we finish up on this A-Trip stuff, make sure people understand. So this is the gas tax money, that $30 million. Is this a yearly thing? Is this a quarterly thing? Senator Elliott, how does that work?
It's an annual allocation from the state portion of the gas tax money. The gas tax is supposed to generate approximately $330 million a year. About a third of that goes to county and municipal governments directly. About two-thirds of it is left with the state, with ALDOT out of that two-thirds. This A-Trip money comes from that, and it increases every year, just as the gas tax money does, as the gas tax rolls in. So we've got 6 cents, 8 cents, 10 cents. This will go up correspondingly as well. So you'll see, instead of $30 million, approximately $40 million next year and $50 million after that. And yes, it's an annual allocation. So this is the first round of funding. There'll be another one the year after that and the year after that.
All right. I kind of was looking forward, like we were just talking about, to session this year. Do you have any sense, are you hearing anything that from other members of the Senate that you feel like this prison special session may be called in right at the beginning of the general, like the gas tax was? Or are you hearing anything to the contrary? What do you know?
Well, a while ago, there was a conversation about a special session taking place prior to the actual general session being gaveled in. I don't think that's going to take place anymore. I think we will go to Montgomery just as we are on time, just like we're supposed to. I don't think there will be a separate special session. Now, whether or not there is a special session within the general, as you mentioned, similar to the gas tax, I do not know the answer to that yet, and I don't think anybody really does yet. The question is whether or not the solutions are going to be mature enough to put into legislation and are ready for a vote. I think that calling a special session without having the legislation ready to go, and frankly without having consensus on the legislation, is a bad idea. You don't want to call a special session that is essentially a hurry-up offense, if you will. If you don't know what play you're going to call it yet, that's a mistake.
Yeah, but isn't there pressure that the governor, if there isn't consensus, even before official consensus, once y'all are in session, but if there isn't that consensus, isn't the worry that the governor goes, or maybe it's not a worry, that the governor goes end around here with an executive action to get a company to build these prisons and then we lease them, you know, whatever, however that works? I mean, it would be, we would enter into a contract, I guess, with these people, these private companies?
I fully expect the governor to do that regardless of the special session.
Really?
I think the special session is going to be more about sentencing reform and activities that are available in prison, trade, you know, schools and things like that. I expect the governor to try to move forward with a prison construction plan exclusive of any action by the legislature.
All right. So to wrap up here, and people were asking about that, even though we're not starting any grief between people on the text line are trying to start grief between Mobile and Baldwin County and allegation from this A-trip. But you're saying that it was other representatives on the A-trip 2 committee from other parts of the state that stepped up is why we're seeing, you think, what we're seeing at all.
In places in Alabama where it snows a whole lot, we got people looking out for us. And I think that's a decided change from what we've had in the past, and I'm excited about a new leaf, if you will, in those types of relationships.
Ah, the old pincher movement from above and below. I think we ran plays like that in football. We'll bring one from here, one from below, and we'll squeeze right there in Montgomery.
Fast growing areas in North Alabama have a lot in common with the coast.
There we go. State Senator Chris Elliott, thank you for your time, and we'll check back with you real soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. So gas tax money, some coming back because we got friends in north places, huh? All right, check out the whole story. I'll link it through on the Twitter feed. Also, I'll be right back. We'll talk Mobile City Council.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Dr. Bill's forecast on the way that actually has us cooling down for tomorrow. Some rain in the mix, and a little more rain as we get into next week, but he'll break down the exact amounts and all that kind of good stuff coming up in just about 10 minutes. I want you all to say hello to Angelo, like I am, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. You and I, hey, by the way, if we could pull the curtain back for a second. You and I were talking during the news break there about getting people into collecting, whether it be coin, like, for example, for coin collecting, and y'all can help with that because of selection, right? I mean, explain that, what you were telling me.
Well, it came to mind because a couple came into the shop the other day. The guy is really into coins, and the girl walks in the door and announces, "I'm not into any of this stuff. I'm just with him." And then she took two steps and saw that new Fantasia coin and went, "Ooh, that's cool." And I started laughing because that's the thing. You know, we don't carry just old Morgan dollars and all the old coins that a lot of the coin collectors are really passionate about. We have those. But in addition to that, we try to carry some of the cool, fun stuff. And I even tagged you with one the other day that I thought you would appreciate on two levels. There is a new Celtic deer coin that came out. It is a Celtic animal series, limited release of 5,000 coins. So as you have learned over the years from us, 5,000 for a worldwide release is extremely limited. But you like Irish stuff. Mm-hmm. You also like deer and deer hunting. So a coin with an extinct Celtic deer, that's right down your alley, even though you could probably care less about coins in general, right?
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying is you'll have the selection to find the outside of coin interest, and then you put the two together. I get it now.
Yeah, because there's things that you're into that have nothing to do with coins, but 9 times out of 10, you can walk in here and we'll find a coin that ties in with all of that. And the main reason that's important for us, you walk in and go, man, I need a gift for somebody. They like hunting and they like this, but I don't know what to get them. We'll get them one of those 1 ounce engravables. Maybe get them that Celtic deer. Get them something else. We have so many different options for you, and they're all very, very affordable. That's what makes what we do here fun.
I love it, man. Tell folks how to come find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out on the website, mobilebaycoins.com. And if you want to see some of the pictures of these cool things, like and follow us on Facebook.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
You have a great weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. You got me thinking, he's talking about Irish, or he's talking about Celtic deer. How about Irish elk? I was talking, last week or the week before, so I think my youngest, I don't know how we got in the discussion. You ever go Google that. Go Google that. See how that, long since extinct, how big that critter was. Yeah, gigantic. Like a Pleistocene thing. I mean, it was not anything that's been recent. It was not some recent extinction or anything. But the thing was, bigger than a moose. Bigger than a moose. Like, would I don't know if he stomped the moose, but definitely bigger than the moose. All right. 12:26. Coming up in just a second, Mobile City Councilman John Williams joins us. And a lot to talk about here, as they had a meeting yesterday. Okay, had a special meeting of the Mobile City Council yesterday. Well, it was called, but they didn't end up holding it because they didn't have a quorum, didn't have enough members of the city council to go forward with the council meeting. And it was to do with a couple things, but one of them was the this contract with Carnival. This was part of it. And then the other part, of course, the discussion of the budget. As we've talked about, and I've lamented for the last 2 weeks, I think 2 weeks, yeah, we're how about this? We are, 11 days into the new fiscal year, October 11th. We're 11 days into the new fiscal year, and the city of Mobile is operating off the 2019 fiscal year budget because of upcoming hearing on, I think it's the 18th, and trying to iron out some of these questions between the Mobile City Council and the mayor's office, who gets to do what. And then the second part of this is so that holds that up. And then at the same time, there's another current here that we've been 2 years without a Mobile City Council president, right? We have LaVon Vancey acting, and he's vice president, acting as president. We have no new budget yet. That's some time to come. And then you had a meeting called. And in the meeting, you have to have 5 of 7 members of the Mobile City Council to go forward. In other words, to have a quorum to move forward. Well, that didn't happen yesterday. The meeting was announced, I think on Wednesday. It was to take place yesterday afternoon. And they were going to set up and start rolling with that. Well, it didn't go forward because there weren't enough members of the council to do it. And I played the clips earlier in the show, Mobile City Councilman John Williams commenting on that yesterday. And we'll talk to him about that coming up. Actually, he's walking in the studio. I may even mic him up early and get him on here because there's a lot to talk about with this. And we want to go ahead and get rolling on this. By the way, too, you can check out the story we linked through. Dalton, if I don't have it up on the Facebook page, let's put Dale Leisha's story up from Landap. We can put that link on the Facebook page. You can check it out right there. And here, I'm just going to put you on with these mics. You don't have to have the headphones yet. We'll get the headphones during the break. Ladies and gentlemen, he is in studio and he's grabbing the mic, and it's Mobile City Councilman John Williams. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Sean. It's a great day in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, it's good to see you in here, coming in studio to talk with us, and I appreciate that. Yesterday, not enough council members to have this meeting, right?
The biggest disappointment I've had since I've been on the council, Sean, to tell you the truth.
I heard you say that. I mean,
it's time to show up. We've been talking long enough. Y'all have talked about us, sometimes unfairly, I think. But,
okay, well, and we're right here, so you can let me
let it rip. But the fact is, up until yesterday, my comment that nothing that the city should be doing
right
is being left undone.
Right.
And y'all said that wasn't true. That was a true statement until yesterday.
Okay. And that's, and so y'all go back if you haven't heard. I've said this. Rob Holbert from Laniap said that. And you have taken umbrage with us saying that. And listen, your opinion carries a lot of weight because you're one of the members of the council that knows if you're doing the work or not. I have said, and Rob said, that we didn't think. We see the issues, whether it be the fact that we're 11 days into the new fiscal year or different things taking away from the city's work. And you have pushed back on that. But yesterday, something changed.
Well, absolutely. When we don't show up and we tell people we're going to show up and take care of business and we don't, then the story changes. The conditions have changed. I'm in absolute disbelief that we didn't show up to do work yesterday. And I don't want to get righteous. You know, there's times when I don't show up on time. I might not even show up at a pre-council meeting. Mm-hmm. I might leave a meeting early if there's nothing being accomplished. But we right had now, something to accomplish yesterday.
Significant.
And it was time to stand up and be counted.
Three
and
members.
We didn't do that.
Three members did not show up.
And I've got to give some kind of indifference to Mr. Small. He sent us a doctor's excuse. It said that he was being asked not to go back to work until the next day.
He was sick. When we come back, I want to talk about the two other fellow council members that weren't there and the fact that y'all couldn't hold that meeting because there wasn't a quorum. Coming right back, more with Mobile City Councilman John Williams right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Once again, hey, Patty at Allegri Market, thank you. Councilman Williams, did you see those two big bags of corn? Were they still in the front lobby or did they run off with them by the time you came through?
I did not see any corn.
You mean I closed the door on the studios for like 10 minutes and somehow here at the Bigler Broadcast Facilities, somebody has run off with those. They were two big like burlap bags full of corn.
I didn't see it. You know, and there's things when I'm so focused, especially like coming in here to talk on midday, I don't see some things on my periphery.
I think two big bags of delicious Baldwin County corn be a good thing. All right, if people did not follow, let me just lay out the news process. Correct me where I'm wrong. A meeting was called on Wednesday for Thursday. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so the meeting is called, so y'all get the email or however you do a text, or I don't know how y'all do it with the council, but everybody gets the same information. All right, we got a meeting tomorrow.
That's correct, and we have to give 24 hours notice.
Okay.
And it has to be something that's pressing. And in this case, we had a very important contract with Carnival Cruise.
Yeah, three years.
3 years is what I understand.
Yeah.
And the other very important thing that we had to do was to approve the budget for the fiscal year of 2020.
And so, I mean, while the Carnival thing is true, but the big thing here was this budget. And here we are 11 days into the new fiscal year working off last year's budget. And what is the relevance of the hearing on the 18th? In your opinion, Councilman Williams, the hearing on the 18th about the detail of the Zogby Act here and passing a new budget, does one prevent the other one? How does that work?
We have one attorney's opinion in that anytime we come up with an amendment or a new resource of revenue or a source of revenue, that we have to have another meeting, another public hearing, and another notification, so to speak. We've never done that. That doesn't mean that it's right or not.
But it has not been it's not been what y'all have done.
It has not been what we have done. And as so long as we do things out front, transparently, then I don't think that anybody will find anything wrong with that. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and everybody knows about it. We have a discussion in a public meeting with more than, you know, in this case would have been 72 hours of notice. Why not? Let's go. Okay. We used to add stuff to the budget the morning of the meeting, and I disagree with that. There needs to be some time. It needs to be posted, and those that care enough to check our agendas will know what's going on and can find a way to voice their opinion if it's different than ours.
Okay. So in that process, yesterday's meeting was set up and the budget was going to be part of this discussion. Y'all could not hold the meeting because a quorum was not achieved. three members not there. You talked about Councilman Smalls had was sick.
Councilman Smalls sent us a doctor's note that said he would return to work the next day.
What'd you hear from Councilwoman Bess Rich and Councilman Fred Richardson?
The notifications came in different orders. There was some text and there was some emails, but they were all in the 11th hour, if you will, that I'm not going to be there. They had voiced some disagreement with some discussions that had been going on, and that they were not ready to vote. But that doesn't mean you don't show up and vote.
So not ready to vote. So they're
not ready to vote.
Okay. So and not ready to vote. So I'm going to take a swing at this. If I'm not ready to vote, then I don't show up. So I don't have to vote.
That's right.
Right, and I know that there's going to be enough of us not show up that the meeting won't actually happen.
Well, Sean, there's a tough subject coming up tomorrow, let's say, and you just really don't feel good about it. You just don't turn on the radio tomorrow. right. And that's really what we're talking about.
Right.
Is that we're not going to talk. I'm not going to do
We're not going to do a show.
We're just going to avoid it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sleep in the back bedroom.
Yeah, so that doesn't work.
It absolutely doesn't work, and it simply doesn't work. And here's my biggest problem. It's not necessarily that we didn't keep our promise and tell the public and be upfront and honest and to stand where we're supposed to stand. That's a hard rub with me. But the other one is we used email and text and we didn't have positive communication with our colleagues, and so we did not communicate. Why not pick up the phone? There's some times when we just simply must pick up the phone, and Fred and Bess should have done that when they didn't have positive communication with their colleagues that they weren't going to be there.
So what happens coming up on Tuesday? Is that what's the window of time where somebody would say they weren't coming to that meeting? Is it the same or is it different than this Thursday meeting?
Don't really have to tell anybody you're not coming. We talked about off air just a second. And, I don't know that there's a provision for a councilman or council person that never shows. You just simply wouldn't get paid.
Right.
The meeting allowance, because we pay two different pieces. We're paid by a sort of a salary, and then we're paid by
meeting you're at, right?
And so they just wouldn't get paid the meeting. If you're absent, you don't get paid. But it doesn't say if you miss 12 meetings in a year that you're gone. There's nothing in there, not to my recollection.
But, it worries me as a citizen that if there were three that did this time and time again, you would never be able to hold the meeting because there wouldn't be a quorum. I mean, they could essentially, three members of the city council, shut down the Mobile City Council.
In a sense, on the surface, I think that is true. I can't remember all parts of all these laws and rules that we go by, but somewhere I believe that there is a demand for a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
That the presiding officer, in this case the vice president, Mr. Manzi, could make a plea for let's show up.
What is, when we look at this situation, other than just saying, hey, we're 11 days into October, we're not operating on the new budget, what are some real world, because I mean, I've been trying to figure out, I'm bothered by it just because it's different and I want us to be on the new budget. But what does it mean for funding? I mean, people are still getting off the 2019 budget, workers for the city of Mobile still getting paid, but what can't we do going forward?
Well, I would say that we can't fund certain contracts because those line items for those contracts are not.
Because they expire, right? They expire at the end of one fiscal year.
Of them do. Some of them carry over. There's you had to get Uncle Paul in on this one, and he'd have to explain all the dynamics of the finance.
Right.
If you and I could do it, everybody would do it. That's right. And so Mr. Wish would have to answer all of those particulars. But there are things that, such as performance contracts, that are simply not going to be done. They are approved
year
by year.
They are a year-by-year thing that go into the budget.
And so there are some good folks out there doing great work that we don't have the capacity to do or don't have the experience to do. So those things are not being funded, and they're having to either work or shut down based on their belief that they're going to get paid later on.
And that can go on as long as this doesn't get signed for a new budget. As long as the new budget's not signed, those people that are year-to-year performance contracts will not get money.
That would be my opinion, yes.
I mean, there's going to be...
And some of those are okay. Some of those are okay. Some of them have an operating budget on their own, and they can use some of their foundation money until they get to a point when they can reimburse that. But not everybody. Certainly not everybody. There's a time when we need to go. And now this is not the latest we've been delayed. And I've never heard a loud cry that somebody completely went under because we didn't approve on the exact date we're supposed to.
Right. And maybe it seems more clear and present to me because I've been watching it, and you've corrected me in your opinion. Till yesterday, you disagree with my assessment of y'all not doing the city's work. You said you have been. City Council has been doing the city's work until yesterday when that changed. Well, if we stay in this mode, then maybe now what I'm saying is true. And how long will this be true? That the work of the city is not being done because of inter-council and intra-council executive branch politics.
Well, certainly if Ashley's article comes true and Mayor Seals one day wakes up and says, well, or well, you know, Ashley wakes up and Mayor Seals says, we're still working off the 2019 budget.
Okay.
So we have to think outside the box a little bit. You know, I've got a couple of friends that I always call, Mike Williams, Stacy Hip. They're folks that have run ballparks and they've run tournaments. And you know what? They would say that it's simply time to stand up and be counted, to do what you said you were going to do. And if you're doing this for the people, then do it for the people. If you're doing it for political reasons, just simply say that, you know, this is politics and suck it up. But
right, because
whatever
people,
it is,
they can still, if somebody wanted to vote in opposition, you're saying then show up and vote in opposition.
Absolutely. Or make a public statement that the reason I'm not showing up is because I am whooped on this issue and I have no other option than to not show up. And let's put it out there. Let's not say that, well, I just got to go to a fundraiser.
And that's what I'm hearing. That I know, Councilwoman Besrich said it herself. She was at a fundraiser, I think, with Connie Hudson, and I don't know about Councilman Fred Richardson. Did he? Yeah, he was at that fundraiser.
Well, you know, that fundraiser is very important. Don't get me wrong, but 30 minutes late for that fundraiser was not going to break that deal.
But it did break yesterday's meeting of the Mobile City Council.
It did indeed.
All right, coming right back, more with Councilman John Williams right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, it's a good reminder as Mobile City Councilman John Williams was. He didn't actually make fun of my picture on the lineup for Real Men Wear Pink, but he pointed it out. He was pointing at it, and it reminded me. You can go on there and look at that picture, and you can lampoon the picture of me in the pink tie and the pink lapel pin. That's fine with me as long as you donate to the American Cancer Society and Breast Cancer Research. I'm one of the Real Men Wear Pink. We are the ambassadors this month for the American Cancer Society. I know, we're like very old, hairy, ugly Azalea Trail maids and no talent. You know, so we're like the Azalea Trail maids, except we're completely different. But we're bringing attention to the situation with breast cancer. Over 4,000 women in Alabama will be diagnosed with breast cancer, and I've told you all before, it's very close to home. My mom, a 20-year survivor of breast cancer, and I'm doing what I can to give back and hopefully raising money as we are. By the way, thank you to all y'all that made donations already, raising money to go to breast cancer research. If you go to our Facebook page, probably the easiest way, you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and you'll see the picture of me there. Click that, and that takes you to the link, a secure link, onto the American Cancer Society's page where you can make your donation for breast cancer research, or you can go check out the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, or heck, if you don't do any of that, just send me an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at FMTalk1065.com, and I'll give you a direct link to where you can make your donation, and I surely appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, and yeah, you can point at the picture of me all the time.
If I click on that picture, though, will it go automatically and give you credit for the donation?
Yes. That's a direct link. You'll go, yeah, if you use a direct link, and not saying I'm competitive against these other dudes I'm in this mix with, but I am. Click the link there, and yeah, all the money goes to the same place.
Of course.
But we're all hustling for it to come through
us. We want FM 106 to win.
Yeah, that's
always.
Right. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you very much. If we continue this discussion about yesterday's non-meeting. So you're there, you show up, and y'all did not have, you had three members missing, so there's not enough to hold this, hold the discussion, one of them being the Carnival Cruise Line contract, but the other one the budget.
That's correct.
So, so no budget. What would change? I mean, I'm going to put you in somebody else's shoes here. Say you're somebody who wanted something. What would change that would have people show back up for meetings? I mean, what could change between now and Tuesday?
Well, I think that people are going to be looking on Tuesday. There'll be a TV there, and we're going to find out the truth at some point. And I would hope that the constituents that put folks in office are going to say, why aren't you representing me? Why aren't you downtown?
Because even if a vote is no, you still go and lodge your vote.
Absolutely, Sean. How many times has Bess been on the 6-1 vote?
That's right. That's right.
You know, so it's not.
It's nothing new.
It would be the first time. It certainly wouldn't be my first time, or I don't think anyone.
Right.
So we have found ourselves in a minority on the voting of seven. You know, two to five or 3-4, whatever the vote called for. I've been on the losing side many times.
But that's the process.
It is.
That's how it works.
You have to have your voice heard. And if you're not there, no one's going to hear you. You can write all the emails and texts you want, but until you let your voice be heard, the people that we represent will not know that you're doing what you said you would do for them.
Now, this is what we talked about in the first segment, but I think it's interesting because there seems to be an issue that some people have worried if the budget is passed, it by de facto endorses non-merit employee pay for the mayor's office. Am I saying that correctly?
I think some do believe that's what we're referring to broadly as Section 40 employees,
okay.
Those that didn't go through the merit system.
Okay.
And I will tell you that every mayor has used it. I know that Dow used it. I know that Sam Jones used it, and I know that we all know that this mayor has used it very effectively, all three.
Okay.
It is impossible to run an administration, to get up and started and moving along if you don't have Section 40 employees. And I think that there was a little bit too much last year, and the mayor knows that. I've talked to him personally about that, and they have made a strong effort to reduce that to the absolute minimum. And some people have chosen, Sean, to leave Section 40 or leave the merit system and go to Section 40 so that they can take care of their families with the additional money.
Right.
Or that they can fill a position and move on up.
So, because the budget depends on the interpretation. I hate to say anything because I'm not claiming to be an expert on the Zogby Act. But in one reading of this, the entirety of the mayor's discretionary non-merit employee budget's like $100,000?
Yeah, $100,000 is what that was written into the very first, I think,
all the department heads and everything, $100,000.
And it needs to be upgraded, and I've talked about trying to fix a number to that, and I don't want to get too far into that because there is still some pending litigation that I don't know how far I can go without making a judge mad. So I will simply say that some tie it in. I will say this. There is nothing that we know today that we didn't know a year ago when we passed last year's budget, when we passed the 2019 budget. So
okay.
What makes it different? We simply make a statement. Nothing's changed. It's in litigation. We're going to let the courts handle it, but we're going to move on with the business of the city. So we're going to pass the budget.
Because that's the one. That's the thing. The everything else in the budget is being put, is 11 days late now because of that question.
That's correct.
Would it, and I know it's, I mean, in the lawsuit, I know there's only, but I'm going to ask you, and you can tell me what you can say and not say. If the budget was passed and the Section 40 is done like he did it last year, and the judge comes back and says something contrary to that, what happens from a council perspective?
Well, if the judge comes back and says the mayor can have more, then he can have more. We just move on. And if he says, he can't have that much.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, you need to get that all taken off.
Right.
And
we've
got to get back to $100,000. Then we do a budget amendment. Or I don't know.
There's a process for that.
It's administrative. Of course we do budget amendments all the time.
So wait a second. So it's not... it's not all has to be sealed when the budget is passed. If there needs to be an amendment in fiscal year 2020, y'all can have a budget amendment.
Absolutely. The budget's a plan, and it's an evolving plan, an ever so fluid plan.
Right.
And let's simply say...
So there's a mechanism.
Absolutely. And it's time to move on. We should have passed this thing on time, but they weren't ready. They wanted to move on. They wanted to wait. Then Joel went to Paris for a couple of weeks and asked that we stay till the 8th. Well, that was going to be all fine. And then those 2 weeks gave everybody time to gin up this plan of delay, delay, delay. And it's simply to just continue to call attention to the differences between us and the mayor. We're not that far apart. This mayor, Sandy Stimson, has worked diligently in the last 60 days to find some kind of common ground outside the legal system, talking to everyone that'll listen. And I believe that some just refuse to listen. Some will, if you answer their question, they're just going to give you two more questions.
I appreciate you coming in and being here, because when I have somebody else, I can have quorum here on the show.
Absolutely.
And we can, if we can have
got it right here. You want to vote on something right now?
We can vote on that. Yeah. And of course, we will all be watching what goes on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Call me anytime, Sean. Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you. Mobile City Councilman John Williams. Sure appreciate him being in here. Coming back next hour. Lots on the show, plus Dalton Orwig's 6.5 stories. All that stuff I missed this week. There were two Florida stories that I specifically didn't run with because I was hoping they'd make their way onto 6.5 stories. But Dalton's got his own formula for extracting the magic that is 6.5 stories. We'll find out more about that coming up in just a little bit. Phone number 343-0106. Same for the text line, 343-0106. Let me tell y'all ahead of time, you're fixing to go make that donation to the American Cancer Society through my little picture thing there. Thank you. We all thank you.